This is The Irrationally Exuberant. I'm Reed Messerschmidt.
This story is about the birth of my son, the most joyful and terrifying day of my life so far. This story is also about the time I beat a rabbit to death with a shovel. Let me start with the rabbit. I killed it with a shovel. Now, before you judge me too harshly, I think you should know that I have been a vegetarian for 13 years, which means that by divine law, anything I do is morally just. But I do have a complicated relationship with animals. I once punched a goose. The goose started it, and I generally don't enjoy interacting with creatures other than my ongoing, successful, I think, attempts to psychically communicate with crows. I don't ever want to share my home with something that doesn't have enough sense to cover up its own asshole at least 90% of the time, and I don't want to touch your dog. I think your dog is gross. My wife and I do have pets, though, of a sort. A family of rabbits that live under our back deck. I use the term family loosely as I don't understand exactly the societal dynamics of rabbits. I do know that they play and eat together and fuck each other, and more of them are appearing all the time, and sometimes one will disappear forever and life goes on. Family stuff. I've grown quite attached to them. When my wife Kelly was pregnant, I would often stand at our kitchen window and watch the rabbits with their wee offspring and daydream about what an incredible father I would be. Even better than a rabbit, hopefully. Anyway, the rabbits are great. I'll get to how I used a garden tool to rain blow after blow on one of their tiny, adorable heads in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about the birth of my son, Otis. Kelly and I were ready for it. Our relationship is great. We're financially stable. We have a great house in a great neighborhood. I'm in my 30s and sober with all of my serious bad behavior behind me, theoretically. We read the books, bought all the gear, and went to all of the classes. The best thing about those classes, for someone like me, incidentally, is to reassure you that whatever doubts you have about your readiness and competence are nothing compared to the doubts that the ragtag band of children and mutants in the room with you should be feeling, even if they aren't. The pregnancy had gone as smooth as you could possibly hope for. Her contractions started at around 11 at night. We drove to the hospital at around 4 in the morning, and all indications pointed to a speedy delivery. Around 8, it was time for her to start pushing, and that is when I got my first shock. Now, listen up, childless men, because this is something they don't tell you in the classes. Or maybe they do, and I just wasn't listening. When it was time to push, I was instructed to grab a leg. Like, physically grab one of her legs to hold it up while she pushes. Now, I was prepared to be there and to massage and support and watch and bring water and whatever else I could. I'm a modern kind of guy and not squeamish. But I had assumed that there would be a medical professional to take care of the actual legwork, so to speak. It's kind of like being asked to rotate your own tires while they top off your fluids at a Jiffy Lube. Anyway, it was fine. Better than fine. Even the lead up to the actual birth is an absolute miracle, and it was a privilege to witness it. It makes you realize that a man's body, relative to a woman's, is less than useless. It takes up valuable resources and emits terrible smells and does terrible things, and it's hard to look at, frankly. We should all be ashamed of ourselves. I know I am. I should note here that Kelly was insistent on doing this naturally, no drugs, and she was bearing the pain of having her body torn to shreds from the inside by a tiny human admirably. She made this sound a lot. Ooh, ooh. Like a spooky ghost taking a shit, kind of. But what had first seemed like it would be a smooth, quick delivery was beginning to stretch on and on. To 3 hours, and then 4. It was exhausting for me, which I made the mistake of mentioning at one point, but for her, it seemed a near impossible strain. There was something holding that baby in, a cervical lip, the doctor said, and he was tilted a bit. They introduced Pitocin to intensify the contractions, but he still wouldn't come. It was almost 2 in the afternoon now, and I was getting hungry, but that was the least of our worries. The baby's heart rate started to drop, and the situation began to feel like an emergency. My panic was barely held down by the double dose of Zoloft I'd taken before we left. And the doctor said, we've got to do a C-section. And Kelly was scared now. We were both crying, and I kissed her, and I told her that I loved her. And people rushed into the room and threw scrubs at me and told me to put them on and wait here, and then quickly wheeled her out and away from me while I clumsily put on the scrubs. And all of a sudden, I was alone in the hospital room. Now I really started to cry. I wept. I thought about what would happen if the baby died, if she died. I tell her all the time that she's not allowed to ever be dead. It's one of the few places I really put my foot down. I'm no good alone. Everything falls apart very quickly. I have terrible instincts. I once buttered bread with butter-flavored Pam, for example. And I love her. I stood in the room by myself, sobbing, wandering in and out into the hall for maybe 15 minutes, and then someone came and told me I could go into the operating room. And in that room, my wife, who I love, remember, was cut open like a piping hot baked potato with all of the fixings. I tried not to look, which I regret. How much more intimate with someone can you get than to see their insides? Naked is one thing. I've seen plenty of other girls naked, but I've never seen another girl's insides. And I realize as I'm saying this that it sounds profoundly disturbing. Anyway, Kelly's head was blocked off so that she couldn't see her insides either. And I went to her and kissed her forehead and kept crying. She was crying too. And then we heard another cry. And then I got to hold my son, Otis. He was disgusting, goopy and wrinkled. His head looked like a child's drawing of an egg, too pointy and lopsided. But he was cute and helpless, and he was mine. He looked terrified, and I wanted to make that stop. I said, "Hi, son. It's going to be okay. I'm going to do my best to make sure everything's okay." I really probably just blubbered nonsense through my tears and sucked back snot, but that's what I would have said if I'd had any control over myself, so that's how I choose to tell it. We had kind of a beautiful hospital stay. No TV, minimal visitors, just low music, lights, and the three of us in this cozy room. And nurses, we had incredible nurses. It was like a mood-lit communal love cocoon with food delivery. 2 days later, we went home. Which brings me to the rabbit. Otis was born in October, so there was raking to be done. We have a fairly big yard, and I was toward the back when I came across the faded hair. It was just lying there, and I assumed it was dead, which made me sad, but, you know, things die. I would throw it in the garbage, just like I hope someone does to my body when I go. Then it blinked, and I thought, fuck. It was immediately clear to me that this was going to turn into an ethical dilemma slash chore, much worse even than raking leaves, which is no picnic. I carefully approached, and it started to twitch violently, tried to squirm away from me. It was horrible to watch, and in my already raw emotional state, I couldn't handle it. I ran inside and told my wife. She was caring for our newborn baby and had recently been cut open, as I said, like a baked potato, and understandably didn't give two shits about a fucking rabbit at all, really. She said that if I insisted, we could call her father and he would come and shoot the rabbit. And I said, no, I am a father now. It is my job to handle things of this nature. So I boldly stormed back outside and immediately tried to justify doing nothing. This is how nature works, I told myself. Consciousness is built on suffering. Pain can be transcendent. Perhaps if I were to do anything for this rabbit, I would prevent it from meeting its God. I don't know the first thing about rabbit religion. Besides, the universe is meaningless and chaotic. And that one worked. Nothing clears the head like confronting the existential abyss. So I went about doing yard work in a different part of the yard and left the rabbit to face the meaningless and chaotic nature of the universe on its own. But then, the next day, I was back in the yard. And when I got to where the rabbit had been, I saw that it had dragged itself about 4 feet and was still alive. I could see its tiny heart beating through its fur. Boom, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I could see panic in its eyes. I imagined how horrible dragging itself those few feet to nowhere must have been. It looked terrified, just like my son had a few days earlier. And again, I just wanted to make it stop. But with a rabbit, your options are limited. So I knelt down next to it, and it was too weak to try to get away this time. And I said, "Hi, rabbit. I'm sorry this is happening to you." And the rabbit said nothing. So I went on. "It looks like you're in a lot of pain. What do you want me to do?" "Nothing." But I knew what I had to do, even though it made me feel like I was going to vomit. I went to the shed and got the shovel. And I went back to the rabbit and kneeled down again and said, "It'll be over in a second." And then I started crying again for the second time in a few days. Rare for a man on Zoloft. And I stood up and I took a deep breath. And then I lifted the shovel with both hands and brought it down on the rabbit. And then dropped the shovel and ran away. And when I came back a few seconds later, the rabbit looked exactly the same as it had before I hit it with the shovel. It turns out this is not a great way to kill a creature. But I was too far along to change course, so I picked up the shovel and hit it again. And I was really crying now, hard, crying about all of the life and death and beauty and responsibility that had come into my world in the last few days, crying for my good luck and my bad, just crying. I hit the rabbit again and it kind of just flopped, but was still very much alive. And I yelled, "God damn it!" and was still crying, and then hit it over and over wildly. And at this point, my neighbors were really getting a show. A grown man cursing and sobbing and hitting a rabbit with a shovel could not have escaped their attention. And then the rabbit was very much dead. So I shoveled it up, threw it in the trash, went inside, showered for so long. Then I held my baby boy. And when I looked down at him with his curious eyes and now more shapely head, ghosts of me and Kelly and our families and his features, I thought about how I might have to reconsider how meaningless the universe could possibly be. The end.